Well, if you got a Bible, grab it and go with me to Proverbs chapter 24. One verse, that's all you need. You can memorize it in about 15 seconds, probably. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 11. And by way of introduction, as you find your place there, whether in your phone or a real copy of the Word of God, I want you to think about this. You, individually, will one day stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account. You will not stand with your nation. You will not stand with your church. You will not stand with your family members. You individually will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. With that in mind, the question must be asked, as we've gathered for this solemn assembly, what does Jesus command from you as an individual concerning the abortion holocaust that's happening in our nation? What does Jesus command of you as an individual? Not your family, not your church, not the nation, you. What are you going to stand before him and give an account for? Let's put it in the positive. What does Jesus expect? Proverbs 24:11. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. This is a positive command. This is not Jesus saying, if you think about being active in helping your pre-born neighbors, this is a good way to go about it. This is not a negative. Do not murder. We don't even have to go there. The command says, not only do you not murder, but you must rescue those who are being murdered. That's your command. That's what Jesus expects and commands of you and I. And I would remind you, friends, Jesus Christ only makes commands. He does not say please. He commands. Have you obeyed that command in Proverbs 24:11? When you think about the abortion holocaust in our nation, 65 million documented slaughtered in the womb. Have you obeyed the Lord's command? Charles Bridges, in his commentary on the book of Proverbs, points out the fact that the Hebrew midwives and Esther, after those ages, thus delivered their own people that were drawn to death or handed over to death. Reuben delivered Joseph from the pit. Job was the deliverer of the poor in extremity. Jonathan saved his friend at imminent risk to himself. Obadiah hid the Lord's prophets. Ahikam and Ebed-Melech saved Jeremiah. Johanan attempted to deliver the unsuspecting Gedaliah. Daniel preserved the wise men of Babylon. The Samaritan rescued his neighbor from death. Paul's nephew delivered the great apostle by informing him of the murderous plot. The rule given to us in Proverbs 24:11 includes all oppression which has more or less of the character of murder. These are our marching orders. Have you simply obeyed this command when it comes to the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Babies are still slaughtered each day by the thousands under the cover of law. And while few are at the abortion mills in their communities trying to rescue those who are being slaughtered, close your eyes and see 65 million slain babies in the womb. See that in your mind, and then hear with your ears the command of the Lord Jesus, rescue those who are being carried off to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. See, the Word of God, it's a mirror that we look at, and it exposes our uncleannesses. It exposes our sin. Look into the mirror of Proverbs 24:11 and see your sin. You got to stare at that verse. 65 million. What have I done to rescue? Not pray for the abortion holocaust to end, though you should, though I should. The imperative is rescue them. What does this mean for you and I? Well, it means we need to repent. If you have before, you need to repent again, as I do, from any laziness or apathy regarding this command. Some of you need to repent and believe the gospel. You need to be converted. For the first time, you need to turn from your sin and embrace the Lord Jesus in faith and follow Him in obedience. Your indifference toward those who are being unjustly carried off, or your participation in the slaughtering of the innocent, will lead God to justly carry you off to the slaughter in hell. We need to repent. The only answer is the Lord Jesus Christ and His work as a substitute in place of sinners. You're under a curse for your sin. If you're not reconciled to God in Christ, you are under a curse. For cursed is everyone who does not abide by everything written in the book of the law and do them. Galatians 3. But the gospel says, but Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. By how? By becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be everyone that is hanged on a tree. So the Word of God is not only the mirror that reveals our sin and our need to repent, it's also pointing to the soap by which we can be cleansed. So look at the mirror of Proverbs 24:11 and see your detestable state on your own standing before the Lord God, and then look at the soap, the blood of Jesus Christ, who became a curse. The only way you can be cleansed, the only way you can be blessed by God, is that Jesus became a curse for you. Look at the soap that is in Jesus Christ, dying to make sinners counted righteous before God and forgiven. So how should you as an individual respond to the abortion holocaust? Repent and be saved if you're not in Christ. Matthew 4:17, this is the very first words we have out of the Lord Jesus' mouth when He begins His ministry, the Apostle Matthew. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance and faith in Christ are really two sides of the same coin. You don't have true faith in Christ without repentance. You don't have true repentance unless you're turning to Christ. No faith, then that wasn't real repentance. No repentance, then that's not real faith. That's why sometimes when you read the New Testament, like Matthew does here, when Jesus calls people to respond to Him and be saved, He doesn't say repent and believe. He just says repent. Turn from your sin to faith in God's Savior. Repentance and sin, two sides of the same coin. And if you repent, if you turn from your sin, stop banking your hopes on the fleeting pleasures of being your own king and master, and trust in the Lord Jesus, who was slain in place of sinners like us. God's promise to you is He will not only receive you and forgive you and count you righteous, He will raise you up on the last day. He'll sanctify you in the truth. And Proverbs 24:11 will no longer be a mirror simply exposing your sin. It will be the marching orders of your sovereign. If you're not converted, you look at that, all it is a mirror. Repent and believe. Once God saves you in Christ, it's our marching orders. The law becomes the path by which we love God and love our neighbor. Commands of God for those in Christ are no longer weights to be crushed under. They're the roadmap. So if you're not in Christ, repent and believe. If you are in Christ, repent and be more like Jesus. Martin Luther, when he nailed his 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg in 1517, you know what the very first of those 95 were? It didn't have to do with indulgences. It didn't have to do with anything like that. He said, when our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, said, repent, he willed that the entirety of the Christian life be that of repentance. We don't repent to get into the kingdom and then I'm done repenting. Why would Luther say that? He was reading the Greek. And the word means to repent and keep on repenting. We don't repent just to get in. We repent as we follow Jesus. As the Apostle James says, we all stumble in many ways. James 3:2. Therefore, we all repent in many ways as Christians. Jesus says repent 8 times in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 in his 7 letters to the churches. You have people that say, well, you repent to get in, you don't repent, you know, I don't need to repent anymore. Really, when Jesus writes letters to the churches, he uses that word 8 times. One time saying, you don't repent, I'm going to remove your lampstand. I'm going to shut your church down. Saying another time, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and war against you. He's talking to professed believers. We repent to be more like Jesus. What does it look like? What does it look like when it comes to apathy or participation in the abortion holocaust? It looks like what it always looks like. Repentance looks like we read something or hear something in God's Word, a command to think a way or act a certain way, and by the grace of God, we realize, I haven't been obeying God. That's the beginning of repentance. The Word says this, I'm not doing it. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of action. So we need to look into the Word of God and see commands like rescue those who are being taken away to death and realize if I haven't been actively rescuing, I need to repent. My favorite Puritan is Thomas Watson. He has a book called The Doctrine of Repentance. And he says repentance involves these 6 things, and I think it's wonderfully helpful for you and I. True repentance involves sight of sin, sorrow for sin, confession of sin, shame for sin, hatred for sin, and turning from sin. So we need to see our apathy or participation in the abortion holocaust. We need to see it first. We need to be sorrowful about our lack of commitment to rescue those who are being slaughtered. We need to confess it to God and our Christian brothers and sisters. We need to be ashamed of what we have and have not done when it comes to rescuing our preborn neighbors. We need to hate it. I don't mean hate others' sin. You need to chiefly hate your own sin and turn from it. You must not make peace with child sacrifice. You must not make peace with simply regulating the slaughter of babies. Anything short of demanding your governing authorities, your legislators, to abolish abortion across the board, no exceptions, no compromise. What you're essentially saying is it's okay to murder babies as long as they meet this. What you're doing is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 that idolaters do. They not only murder, but they give approval to those who do. If you don't call for the immediate abolition of abortion to your governing authorities who represent you, you're saying it's okay to kill babies as long as we can't detect a heartbeat. We can't give approval. We need to pray. We need to speak. We need to act. And that begins by first repenting, by trusting in the Lord Jesus, by obeying his commands. Sometimes proclaiming the truth and doing what is right will go well for you. That's what I'm calling you to do. Speak and act. That's what it will look like to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Speak and act. And sometimes that'll go well for you. Think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Peter on the day of Pentecost, Paul on some of his missionary journeys. Sometimes it'll go well for you. And sometimes standing up for the truth and speaking the truth will go very badly for you. Jeremiah was beaten and put in stocks. Isaiah was sawn in two. Zechariah was stoned to death in the temple. John the Baptist's head was cut off. Stephen was stoned. Jesus' brother James was thrown off the Temple Mount. And when he didn't die, though his legs burst open, they came down, called him to repent again. He said, "Never." And they bashed his head in with a club. The Apostle Peter was crucified. The Apostle John was boiled alive in oil. And a few years before that, the Apostle Paul had his head lopped off with the swift swing of a sword. But you are always safe in Christ. They may kill you, but not a hair on your head will perish. In Christ, what matters is not your success as the world deems it. In Christ, what matters is your faithfulness, as Jesus describes it. What does it look like to be faithful to Jesus? Rescue those who are being carried away, taken away to death. I'll remind you again in closing, you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one will be around you. It'll be you. The only way that's going to go well for you is because if you're in Christ, the Lord Jesus was carried off to the slaughter for you. Won't you do that for others? Won't you do that for your preborn neighbors? God, give us the grace. May He grant us repentance. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the grace that you've given us in Christ. Help any of us who are not in Christ, haven't been truly born again, help us to be horrified that we are under a curse for our rebellion against you. And then open our eyes to see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, who was carried off to the slaughter for us. And may we then be saved and be motivated to do that for our pre-born neighbors. Grant us repentance. Grant us faith in Jesus and a backbone to rescue. It's in the Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen.